Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another podcast. I'm Christina Vogt, assistant editor for Consultant360.com. I'm speaking today with Dr. Eileen O'Grady, who is a certified nurse practitioner and wellness coach, founder of the School of Wellness, and an advisory board member of Nutrition 411. Thank you for joining me, Dr. O'Grady.
Great to be here. Thank you.
Today, we will be discussing practical strategies that Dr. O'Grady has used in her own practice to help her patients meet their weight loss goals and overcome obstacles that may arise in their journey to better health. So, Dr. O'Grady, do you have your patients set big goals or small ones?
It often depends. So the science tells us that we need to, first of all, isolate the goals, so work on one at a time. And sometimes dropping bad behaviors, it's best if we cluster those. So if people are smoking and drinking and then eating cheeseburgers and fries, that's a cascade of bad habits. Sometimes it's easier to drop negative ones in groups, but to start new ones, it's much better to isolate them. So sometimes, I've had the tiniest goals that people will start with, like take inventory of their workout clothes if they want to start working out. Like they don't even know what they have or if they have sneakers. So it can start really tiny. And what we know is that, people in my own experience, once they start to have some success, it really starts to snowball. Success breeds success. So oftentimes they're small. And so I won't let anyone agree to a goal unless they have a 7 out of 10 chance of doing it. So if they're at a 4 or a 5 or a 3, that goal is set up to fail. And so I'll ask them, what would make, so say they're going to start an exercise plan and they're going to walk 2 miles and they have a 3 out of 10 chance of doing it. And I say, what would make it an 8? And they'll say, walking around the block. So we'll make the goal so that it's successful. And anything they do after that is a victory. So we want to set the goals up so that they're successful. And sometimes people really need to get results quickly, particularly with weight loss. Like they really are very uncomfortable and they're very motivated. And so sometimes we can have them set a big goal. And let's see, like we can get 4 pounds off this week and really take out all the sugar and all the processed food. And usually in the beginning, people lose weight very quickly. But I like them to have a plan. And most people, as long as they're not eating the standard American diet, the SAD diet, they will lose weight if they stick to a vegetarian or a low carb or Mediterranean, whatever it is. But I like them to have a meal plan so that they know what they're eating. So they're not just grabbing food and eating, on the fly. So I have them have a hunger scale, 10 is you want to throw up and 1 is you want to eat someone's arm off. And you sort of want to stay between 4 and 6 on that. So starting to really get aware of their body and when they are actually hungry, because so many people don't even know. They don't even really recognize when they're physically hungry. So we sort of start there, that intuitive eating idea, and getting people really comfortable with, I've had enough, I'm going to stop. So that might be a goal. Why don't you just eat to satiety for the next week and not overeat? Or sometimes people get too hungry during the day and become hangry, and then they overeat because it's very hard to satiate. When you drop down to a 1 or 2, that your pattern might be, then you just go and overeat. It really depends on the person, but the main thing is having them make a plan a priori ahead of time and then sticking to it. And if they don't stick to it, have them get curious about themselves. What was going on? Why did I go off and go back to my old habit? What emotional state was I in? And name that state. And then also these goals, asking them, how they want to be accountable. So that's another thing a clinician can do in a setting where it doesn't have to be you, and it probably shouldn't be you. So you tell me that when I see you back in a month, you're going to be down 5 pounds, and who are you going to be accountable to? And, if you're over-deployed like most people in healthcare, you don't want it to be you. It can be their office mate, their spouse, somebody, that's not necessarily you. But you're holding them accountable for the next visit, and you're putting it in your note that you're expecting them to be on this weight loss journey.
What do you do when a patient has had a setback? How do you help them get back on track with their weight loss?
When people are changing eating habits, really hard to do with the world and the toxic food environment many of us are in. It's not if, it's when. So when you fall off this plan, whatever you've come up with, what are you going to do when you fall off? So most people will say, I've ruined the day, sort of screw it, I'm going to just eat whatever I want. Well, that's that very defeatist attitude. And when we look at the people that have lost weight for long periods of time, one of the habits they have is that when they do go off, they're right back on the next meal. So if they really went off, they might fast the rest of the day, or they might just be right back on the next meal onto their clean eating program. So it's that mindset of not being doomed. So when I fail, I get right back on. It's this idea, Christina, of developing this growth mindset that I'm going to learn how to do this, how to not kind of succumb and be hostage to my basic instincts that have set me up for this overweight condition. They are going to be set off track. What was the condition? What was going on? And because the main skill set here in the long-term weight loss journey and keeping weight off is know thyself, which Socrates, you know, mentioned. That is our true power, is that, you know, what are we eating to? What is setting us off? Why did I go off? And try to understand yourself. What was going on, and what need is going unmet in me, you know, that I'm turning to this destructive eating. So I think planning for these setbacks is really, really important, because it's a huge part of why people go off and then don't come back, because they feel like they're a failure. And that's this very fixed mindset. Like, this is the condition I'm giving, and it's not alterable. And I've seen people really change their lives dramatically and sustained lifestyle change permanently. I mean, I'm expert in intentional change in adults, and it is just a remarkable thing to watch people sort of almost molten their old identity as an obese person that doesn't move very much to somebody who really cares about what they're putting in their body. And, you know, then usually movement starts to come along with that. The two kind of grow into each other very naturally.
How do you keep your patients motivated?
Well, oftentimes, you know, the other piece about setbacks is there's always plateaus. So people often think of weight loss journeys as a ski slope, you know, and it's actually more like steps. You drop some, and then you plateau, and you drop, and then you gain a pound. It's not even. So that can get up into people's heads. So I have a number of strategies. Sometimes people are made insane by getting on the scale a lot. And so as long as we know maybe once a month they get on the scale, or once the same day of the week or whatever, because thousands of things fluctuate our weight in the humidity and barometric pressure and all kinds of things, hormones. So I will often have them try on an item of clothing that they really want to wear again, you know, skinny jeans or something, and just put them on once a month. And, you know, measure their progress that way or with the tape measure. So that's one thing. So to keep that item of clothing out in full view, so it's like in their closet or in their bedroom, so they see it every day. And then doing mental contrasting. So when you are a lean person and you've reduced all this percentage of body fat, what will you be doing on a regular basis? Like having them envision, how will you be living? What will you be doing? And that gets people often excited, like putting them into that preferred future. Sometimes setting up little goals. So like, let's get you to below 200. That's often a celebration point. So, you know, some kind of rewarding system that doesn't involve food and something fun that they want to do. A huge piece of this is having accountability. And sometimes it works really well if somebody's in an office situation, that there's an office mate, somebody else that they are accountable to. So they're not out there alone, kind of twisting in the wind and accountable to nobody. That is a huge thing. And often having a tribe of people, but even just having one person. The truth of it is that this overweight condition and obesity is really, really bad for our health. 7 kinds of cancer, all these joint replacements. I mean, it is really, really bad for us. So going back over the facts, that which people often know, but being reminded of them. And then sometimes, you know, I've seen people plateau and actually start reversing course and have discovered that they're afraid of being lean, that there's some fear in them for all kinds of interesting reasons. And often it's very unconscious. This is what we call immunity to change, when people are immune to change because there's some assumption underneath that they're not aware of that's driving them. So for example, I've had women a significant weight loss, and all of a sudden they're a threat to other women in the office or, you know, in their social life. And, you know, there's some bad behavior going on, or they don't like people looking at their body up and down. Like when you lose a lot of weight, people sort of check you out from head to toe, and they really find that a very uncomfortable feeling. So they'll start eating destructively again. And then it's always going back to the really basic things when people lose motivation. Like, are you sleeping really well? You're making sleep a priority. That's huge. Impacts every cell and pore of our body. Are you drinking your water? And then what's going on with all the distractions? So we live in this highly distractible world. And, you know, I always say that we have to have some kind of tech policy, or we will just be swept away into this abyss and really give away our lives. So I think the key to self-regulation is to cut out that distractibility and know what the biggest priorities of our lives are and make sure we are living them.
Thanks again for joining me today, Dr. O'Grady.
It was lovely. Thank you so much.